Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Matthew chapter 11. And we're just going to look at three verses of scripture. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and in one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. We have been studying under the subject, Give Me an Answer from the Bible. We've looked at different questions and difficulties that we experience as believers and answering questions like this. What is your big problem? Does God promise you prosperity? Why am I in this mess? And then how do you know right from wrong? And what should I give to God? And isn't simple faith in Jesus too easy? Well, today the title of the message is, How Could This Be? How could this be a lighter load? How in the world could following Jesus be a lighter load? A high school student decides to give his life to Jesus. He begins to tell his friends, and they lash out at him. The more he stands for Christ, the more pressure he faces to cave in on what he believes. He would like to have some friends, but they seem to be going in a different direction. He asks his parents, why is it so hard to follow Jesus? How can this be a lighter load? Take a single mom who wants to bring her children up in the right way. Friends at work are telling her to go to the party scene to meet successful looking guys. It always ends up that these guys in these locations don't have Christian values, and this is what she wants for her life. She wants to go to church on Sundays, but let's face it, with all the hours she is working, Sunday mornings are the only mornings that she can sleep in. She is very lonely. She asks, is it worth it? How can this be a lighter load? A college student goes to class for the first day of biology. The teacher gives his worldview in a secular way, and the new student asks a simple question and thereby hints that he believes in creation, in a creator God who has created the natural observable facts of science. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife. Although he's not belittled, it becomes clear that questions like these will be looked down on by the students and maybe even the professor. The student thinks, how can following Jesus as a student be a lighter load? A guy works for a company and is respected as a hard worker, which makes him valuable to the bottom line. From time to time, the company entertains people representing their large clients, and although he is a believer, he finds himself in social situations with his bosses and with clients who like to drink and party. Sometimes even the language and joking is awkward. He navigates it pretty well, but he's known as the straight-laced guy in the company and is often kidded at company parties. He gets the sense that he can't really move up much more unless he becomes more open and fits in with the crowd. He prays, asking God to help him in this difficult situation. He asks himself, how can following Jesus be a lighter load? Today, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in which Jesus makes the claim, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. We must ask the Lord to give us an answer from the Bible. There must be something here that will help explain. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How could this be a lighter load? Well, I've just got two main points today from this passage. The first one is this. Following Christ is about coming, not doing. Number one, following Christ is about coming, not doing. Look at verse 28. Come to me, Jesus says. If you have a red letter edition to your Bible, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word come is the great word and invitation of the Bible. See, let the children come. O, let the older people come. M, let the middle-aged people come. E, let everyone come. He says, come unto me, all you who labor. The word labor means to feel fatigued. Do you feel fatigued? You ever feel fatigued? He says, if you feel fatigued, come unto me, all you who labor, to feel fatigued from work, tired of bearing the burden. You see, the Christian life is not a life about, listen, it's not necessarily, salvation is not necessarily about doing. It's about coming. Most religions say do. We have to do something to gain God's favor. In Buddhism, they seek enlightenment by self-effort. Islam, I told you about this last week, about the balance of right and wrong. And you attain right through the five pillars of Islam. Hinduism, trying to break out of reincarnation. You can do that in three ways: by right living according to one's duty, by some liberating knowledge, or by some devotion involving ritual worship, which it could be a combination of those three. The Pharisees in the Bible were keepers of the law. There's something in us, church family, we want to earn it. We want to obtain it. We want to measure up in some way. And that's what the Pharisees were all about. They're about keeping the law. I think about the Jehovah's Witnesses. When you think about world religions, you gain favor by doing, joining the Jehovah's Witnesses and adhering to their rules. You have to perform to fit in. There's pressure to measure up. I think about in working with youth for so many years, we talked a lot in those days about self-image. Where do you get your self-image? Well, research has been done, and in many ways, we all get our self-image in one of three ways. Either in relationships, it's like, you know, who are we in a relationship with, and we feel good about ourselves because of that. That's why there's so much of a drive among our young sometimes to have a boyfriend or have a girlfriend, because they feel so good about themselves if they have that relationship. Or you get your self-image maybe not from relationships, but through skills. Maybe you're a great athlete, man, and you've won the championship, and you you feel so good about yourself, or maybe you're a great student, and because of your expertise academically, you got that scholarship and you feel good about yourself. That was never one that I had to struggle with, okay? The academic one, okay? But I was persistent, and so I was able to get some college under my belt because of persistence. But you think about relationship skills. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes because of your great musician, you feel that way. So skills can help you measure up. Sometimes it's wealth. For many adults, it's wealth. We build wealth. The problem with all of this, when you get your self-image from doing, the problem is that you always meet somebody that's eclipsed you. You may be the valedictorian of your school, and then you come to the University of Florida. Now, if you went to FSU, you'd still be on top. But if you go to the University of Florida, you know, you're going to meet other people smarter than you, you see. Or maybe you're a great athlete in high school, and then you get into college, and you realize, you know, those guys play athletics at a whole different level. So you can go from a hero to zero real quick when you allow your self-image to be based upon relationships, skills, or wealth. I think about the young man who the girl likes him, and she smiles at him, and man, he goes home on top of the world, and the next day he finds out she was looking past him at another guy, and it wasn't him she was looking at. And all of a sudden, his self-image is down in the dumps. Well, the scripture says, come to me, all you who labor. You know, our world is laboring for significance. People are laboring. All you who are heavy laden, it means to be loaded down. I picture a big ship in the harbor that is loaded, maybe an oil tanker loaded, and the top of that, the dry part of the deck is just barely above the water because that thing is loaded down. It's heavy laden. It's loaded down. Our society is heavy laden. This week I noticed that there was a big story about some prominent couple that posted that they aborted their child because they had done some testing that showed that the child had some disability. And they said, we don't want to go through that, and we felt like it was the right thing to do. Well, there was all kinds of backlash from people who said, you don't make a decision about life and death because of the convenience. Life is life. Amen? Well, but it's just a sign of our society. Since 2010, there has been a huge increase in anxiety and depression among young people. Research has been done. We've got the most resources we've ever had. We've got more money sunk into education than you can even imagine. We're leading in many ways the world about the investment of education, and yet it doesn't seem that we have the answers that we're looking for. Our young people are struggling. You know, since 2000, the divorce rate has actually gone down. And when they did the research, they said it's down, but it's down because there's less marriages. People are saying, look, instead of making that commitment in marriage, let's just live together. And that is becoming the pattern, and yet God has given us a standard. It's just a sign that this old world is heavy laden. Ladies and gentlemen, I think about just politics and candidates that are out there and their character and the kind of people we are electing in this country and all kinds of things like that. And it just is a demonstration to me that this old world is heavy laden. And yet, what do? We keep on trying to do something to earn our way to feel good about ourselves. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. Following Christ, how could this be a lighter load? Well, because following Christ is about coming, not doing. Religion says do. Christianity says come. Here's the second thing, which is really the crux of this message. How could this be a lighter load? Well, number two, because we are given encouraging promises from Jesus. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke. Well, in verse 28, he says, and I will give you rest. 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, or meek. Some of your versions say meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke. Now, full disclosure, you cannot candy coat the Bible. Amen, church? People that get up and tell you if you follow Jesus, you will not have any problems, that's baloney. I learned that in Greek class. That's baloney, okay? The truth is, this life is difficult. But Jesus says this. He says, if you're heavy laden, come to me. You don't have to do anything. You come to me and get in my school of life. He says, take my yoke. Half of my life as a youth pastor was convincing youth, you're going to be under some yoke. Which one do you choose? You can either be under the yoke of being your own God and measuring up with relationships, skills, and wealth, and guess what? You're going to always meet somebody that eclipses you. And then you're going to feel bad about yourself. Oh, I just don't measure up. So the truth is following Jesus, you do get in a yoke. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is an instrument. You ready for this? It's an instrument of submission. It's an instrument of submission. So you get into a yoke. Jesus says, look now. He says, you got to trust somebody in church family, young people, college students. You got to trust somebody. Who are you going to trust? You going to listen to your own self and be your own God? That's really the bottom line decision of life is, are you going to be your own God or are you going to let God be God over your life? That's really it. You're going to get in one of those yokes. Which one are you going to get in? Well, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. He says, learn from me, enroll in my school, but we must bend our neck. The scripture says that if you harden your neck and you bow your neck, that your neck will be broken, and that without remedy, the proverb says. He that hardeneth his neck and being often reproved will one day be destroyed, and that without remedy. If you go toe-to-toe with God, you will lose. Just mark it down. I heard an illustration about that. You know, when they mine diamonds, they want to mine the biggest stone they can mine because if they can chip away and keep the largest diamond, it's the most valuable, right? When you go to buy a diamond solitaire, the larger it is, the more expensive it is because it's rarer, okay? Well, if they take that raw stone and they've got to chisel off all the extra inclusions and stuff, other rock that is adhered to it and all that, If they're hitting it and it doesn't quite knock that little thing off, what do? They hit it just a little bit harder. If that thing won't give, they hit it just a little bit harder, hoping they don't break off part of the value. Somebody told me when I was a teenager, they said, Calvin, God has a chisel on you, and if you bow your neck and you are often reproved, he that hardeneth his neck, being often chipped upon, will someday be destroyed, and that without remedy. And they said, Calvin, if you bow your neck so hard, that God uses the authorities in your life to hit it harder and harder, it may chip off something that wasn't intended to be chipped off, and you may have a diminished brilliance for God because you bowed your neck so hard. Well, the bottom line is, he says, enroll in my school. We've got to bend to something, either yourself or to the Lord. The world disguises its yoke. Back when I was a teenager, there was a, and I don't even know if it's still, I don't see it like I used to, but there was a commercial from Busch Beer. Go for the gusto. All my beer drinkers knew that thing. I'm just kidding. It said, go for the gusto. And the point was, they always had somebody in the Rocky Mountains with a fire, with a beautiful pond, glass. No ripples. I mean, it was perfect. And the reflection of the snow-capped mountains in the background, and a pan-fried trout, and a beautiful girl and a handsome guy. Go for the gusto. And they made you think that if you don't have that, you're missing out. But let me tell you something. They lied. They didn't tell you the real story. Hey, I lived in the real story. I lived as a kid in the real story. Hey, listen, those people are liars. I lived in the real story. They don't tell you. You see, the world out there says real freedom is getting out from under authority. If you really want to live, you be your own God. You do what you want to do. Jesus says, no, if you really want to live, he says, I do have a yoke, but you get in my yoke, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The world disguises its yoke, and we think real freedom is getting out from authority. I used to, in working with young people, man, I'd have some guys, they were rebellious. They could not wait to get away from their parents. And so one day they graduate, or maybe even they go before they graduated from high school. They go out on their own. I'd say, hey, what are you going to do? They said, I'm joining the Marines. They thought they were going to have real freedom. And they sent them up there to Paris Island. You know about Paris Island. My dad was an Air Force guy. But man, I've heard stories about those Marines, man, at Paris Island. And you think you're under authority with a mom and a dad? You wait till you go to Paris Island and find out what authority's all about. Well, the thing is, yeah, I got an amen right there. You see, the world out there disguises its yoke. Get into the party scene. Hey, get it. It's all about pleasure. It's all about wealth. I had a attorney friend who represented some very wealthy people, and he was at a home on the river in Jacksonville, and he told me the story of he was sharing with this client. They had so much income, but they were underwater financially. You know, I learned from Larry Burkett in this church when I was a college kid. In this church, there was a seminar they did on finances, and they made this statement that threw me for a loop. But here's what the statement was. Financial freedom has nothing to do with how much money you make. And I wrote that down. And all the while, Kelly was wanting more grocery money. I kept quoting that to her. I'm just kidding. But anyway, but this guy said this lady, they were so wealthy, but he was assigned to them because creditors were after them. They had this beautiful home on the river. I'll never forget, he told me that that lady looked him in the eye. She knew he was a Christian man, had a sweet wife and two boys. And she said, I would trade all that I have to have the family that you have. I've never forgotten that. So why do we trust Jesus? Why do we get in his yoke? Well, because he's meek. Make no mistake about it, the word meek does not mean weak. The word meek means teachable. It means he's power under control. You think about a stallion. That horse could kill you, and yet you have tamed that horse, power under control. Jesus Christ, the most powerful force on this earth. Make no mistake about it, the God creator of the universe, and yet he says, come to me. I'm gentle. You have a gentle God if you're a follower of Jesus. You have a God that is coming back, though, to judge and rule this world. Amen? And all justice will be made. That's one reason we don't have to take all that on us. We can release that to God because ultimately God is going to make all things right. Even the creation cries out for God to come. The creation groans for the coming of Jesus so that things will be made right. But we trust Jesus because he's meek. He has power under control. He gives us three promises. Remember, how could this be a lighter load? Number one, because following Christ is about coming, not doing. You can stop your search for trying to measure up according to other standards. Just come to Jesus. Okay? Number two, because we are given encouraging promises. Here are the three promises. You will find rest. We're all looking for what delivers the ultimate in life. You're going to find that in Christ. Pascal said that in every heart is a God-shaped vacuum. And what do we spend our life doing? Trying to find what will fit in that vacuum to make us happy. And Pascal said, you'll never find it unless you put God in there. I've lived long enough to see that lived out in my own life, the lives of those that I know and love, and in church families. Those that are content to let Jesus come in and let him have full control are the happiest people I've ever been around. Others are continuing to search. You will find rest. You will find, listen, you will find what you're really looking for when you come to Jesus Christ. You'll find it in Christ. Augustine said it this way, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says this, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Listen, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls. Jesus gives rest. And that word rest means pardon. It means relief. What you're searching for, you will find. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 25, it says this, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. So the first thing is you're going to find rest. Yes, it's a yoke. I'm not going to candy coat it. It's an instrument of submission, but I promise you it's the lightest, it's the sweetest and most gentle yoke you could ever get in. You get in that world's yoke, and I tell you, it just starts getting tighter and getting tighter and getting tighter and getting tighter. And all of a sudden you realize you're trapped. So you're going to find rest in that yoke. Second thing, you're going to realize your load is light. Your burden is actually lighter than you thought. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it's lighter. The word light there means less, it means smaller, and get this, it has this flavor, it means easier to bear. But here's the kicker and the last thing. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, your load, you ready for this? Is for your benefit. The word easy means good. It means gracious. It has with it the idea of to benefit. It says in the passage, for my yoke is easy. In other words, the yoke that I am going to put you in is for your benefit. It says, and it has with it the idea, it is kind. It's what you need. It's purposeful and it's useful. The word kind is there in that flavor of it, and it means to your benefit. Think about this. Every difficulty you have that is from following Jesus Christ, God can turn that for good. Think about Joseph sold into slavery. That wasn't easy. That was a burden to bear. And yet he became the leader of a nation. I think about Daniel, the young man. I think about our young people. I think about these teenagers trying to follow Jesus Christ. Well, when they live for Christ, yes, it may be tough. Yes, somebody may make fun of you, but do you know Daniel was captured as a youth and he served in 4 administrations with heathen kings. God exalted him, and one king said, everybody will worship the God of Daniel. I think about Stephen, the deacon Stephen, who was there preaching the gospel. They said, don't preach, and he said, I've got to, and he did, and they stoned him, and he was martyred. It's a tough yoke. But they laid his garments at the foot of a man named Saul, who became Paul, who wrote the epistles, most of them of the New Testament, and God used Stephen. I think about Paul, who was shipwrecked, all the difficulty he went through. One of my heroes, athletic heroes, is a guy named Eric Little, who was a missionary in China. He ran for Scotland in the 20s. 1920s as an Olympian, and he ran in that race, and he wouldn't run on Sunday. He had trained all that time, and he refused to run on Sunday. And another teammate said, I tell you what, don't run on Sunday. You run on Tuesday, and I'm supposed to run in the 200. And he said, but I want to see you run, Eric. And so Eric said, well, I'll do it if you let me do it. And so he ran in the 200. In my office, I have a picture of Eric Little, the real Eric Little, not from the movie, right after he won that race. And the historians say that the other coach said, he's a flyer, he's a sprinter, he's gonna conk out on you after 100 meters. Rigor mortis is going to set in, he said. And as the historians said it, he came around that corner and he used to run with his head up. They said he was looking to the heavens because he had given his life to Christ, and he said, I'm running to feel the pleasure of God. God gave me a gift. And he stood for God and he ran. He came around that thing and they thought he was going to crash and burn, and he just picked up speed. And as he ran, he looked up into the heavens and he won that race, set a new world record. I've got a picture of that was taken of him in my office to remind me, Calvin, yes, it may be tough. Yes, it's a burden. Yes, it's a yoke. But God can use your difficulty if you're faithful. Get in my yoke. I think about, in my office is another little piece of memorabilia. It's a signed baseball of Bobby Richardson. I've told y'all about Bobby. He was a second baseman on the New York Yankees. He played with arguably one of the greatest baseball players of all time, Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle was a famous, like a, almost had the aura of a rock star. And they talked about Mickey Mantle. He won the Triple Crown. What is a Triple Crown? Highest batting average, home runs, and what? Runs scored. Like I said, RBIs. Anyway, he won the Triple Crown. Paul Waters knows about baseball. He could tell me. But anyway, the point is, Mickey Mantle got up every day, and they joked about it. They said, what did he do? He got up and had the breakfast of champions. You ever heard of this? It was some kind of a vodka drink. Bobby was a family man. Bobby Richardson was a Christian. He was a World Series MVP one year, I think in maybe 62 or something, 1962 for the New York Yankees. But Bobby Richardson did not participate in all that breakfast of champions and all that stuff. And later on, I have it in my office, they put Mickey Mantle, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, they put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and I have it in my file. I should have brought it so you could see that I'm not lying. And the title of that cover was, Don't Be Like Me. Don't be like me, what do you mean? You were the Triple Crown winner, the greatest baseball player the Yankees ever had, Mickey Mantle. You and Babe Ruth, I mean, you guys are amazing. What do you say, don't be like me? He says in that article, he says, I have so many regrets. My alcoholism, the way I treated my sons. And he got cancer. And you know what he said to his friends? He said, hey, go get Bobby for me. He wanted to see Bobby Richardson. And Bobby led him to Christ. The story that I have is that Bobby led him to Christ. And Bobby Richardson stood in Park City's church in Dallas on the day of his funeral and told that story about him. So listen. You can get any yoke you want to get in. You have the opportunity to make that choice. But I tell you one thing. The world doesn't tell the full story. And if you will trust Jesus, you're going to look back one day. And you're going to say, you know what? Living for Jesus was a lighter load. Living for Jesus Christ was a lighter load because the God of this universe made it possible for me to know Him. And I trusted in Christ and I tried to live by His principles. Yes, it was tough. Yes, I might have been made fun of. Yes, I might not have gotten that promotion. Yes, I might not have been the most popular in my school. But when you come to the end of your life, you're going to look back and you're going to be so glad that you got in the yoke with Jesus Christ. So, how can this be a lighter load? It's a lighter load because the other yoke will take you to hell. And the other yoke will wreck your family. And the other yoke will wreck your life. And the other yoke will cause you to all your life be unhappy and unfulfilled. Give your life to Jesus. Trust Him. Live by His word. I don't care if the whole world is against us. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed His name to bear. My life, my all is His forever. and he'll go with me everywhere. I'll tell the world how Jesus saved me and how he gave me a life brand new. And I know that if you'll trust him, that what he gave me, he'll give to you. I'll tell the world, sing it with me, that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. My life, my all is his forever, and he'll go with me everywhere. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.